Champions Live. I've been waiting to do that, man, for a couple weeks now.
You want a Soul Train line now?
But I hope we got that. You know, Trev's the master on steel of the wheel.
Trying to get dancers in here.
I just like to have that Soul Train theme lead us in, you know what I'm saying, if law allows. But anyway, we're back. Urban Media Radio today. Urban Media Radio Sports Talk. Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live and in serious color from Pittsburgh, PA. And all things are well. I want to thank our good friend Marcus Robinson for coming by. Check out the Pittsburgh Bullets if and when you can. And speaking of important things to do, little segment here for Black History Month some of the great names and shoulders we stand upon. But I'm going to kick it off by offering this, guys. Have either or both of you had a chance, and our good friend Trevin Jones joins us in this segment, producer extraordinaire. Have you guys had a chance to see Black Panther, the movie?
No, but I'm going to see it. I haven't seen it yet.
I did.
Okay, so I'm sure, Kev, one thing that you and I can agree upon was just an exceptional movie. A lot of pride and appreciation for, while it is a Marvel production, Marvel Comics production, 98% black.
Did you understand all the technology in the movie? Because I know when it comes to technology, it takes you a while.
But so. even in that format, they break it down for 10-year-olders, so even I can understand it then. But yeah, man, I just thought it was great. The black ensemble cast, it has to be remembered that it is a comic book character, but they portrayed him in such a positive light. They portrayed the people in such a positive light. They put in so many innuendos and subliminal suggestions that many black folks, especially older black folks, would certainly pick up on. But across the country, everybody has noticed by now that many of the audiences that attended the weekend premiere of Black Panther, the movie, were white. I know the theater that I was in was a sold-out audience, and easily a third of the audience was white. And that, of course, comes because it's a Marvel comic book character. But I just thought they showed black women in such a positive light. They showed the Black Panther not only as a comic book character, superhero, but an articulate man in his own right. And I just thought it was just a great, great production.
And that just goes to show you, Bill, the power of inclusion. You know, what we can all reap for being inclusive. Okay, so how do you make money? How do you have a movie that everyone could go see and for it to be successful? So I'm not
recognize it as a blaxploitation movie, so to speak.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great
exactly.
point.
Exactly. So it's across the board, and, you know, the numbers, I'm not even going to mention, you know, how much money it made over the weekend, because that number, I keep hearing different figures. So I do know that it's a really good movie and it did really well over the weekend. And a lot of people, Bill, this is a movie a lot of people are going to see multiple times.
Yeah. And you know, I can tell you this too, Kevin, line with what you're saying. The opening night was a record-breaking Thursday night opening. The weekend was record-breaking. I think it's falling second only to one of the Star Wars movies. So, yeah, just hats off across the board to Marvel, to Hollywood, and again, what an outstanding cast. And I just loved, you know, just loved the way they portrayed black women in strength and character. And my hope is that young black females can see that and take something from it. It showed the importance of integrity. It showed the importance of caring about the less fortunate. So I thought a lot of messages were presented. It certainly talked about the history of black people and where we come from. So it was great.
And if I can just add, and I just thought about this as well. I mean, it's a very powerful movie. But when you think about it, one of the greatest benefits of the movie too, I think most of the actors and actresses were brand new to us for the most part. Mm-hmm. So normally when we go see our movies, black movies, you know, we're used to seeing Denzel. We're used to seeing Halle Berry.
Taye Diggs.
Yeah. So we were
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Nothing at all. Yeah. But it's just good to see some of the other talent that is out there and to see other people get good opportunity.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, when you have actors and actresses that aren't well known, they have those smaller roles.
Yes. Yeah.
In this situation, they had major roles. So that was very good to see.
And that's Hollywood taking a chance, and it's what black people in Hollywood have been asking for, I dare say demanding over the last 4 or 5 years, that there should be accurate portrayal of those kinds of characters with black people who can carry it. And certainly a great script, a great storyline. So hats off across the board. So that being said, let us continue with that black theme, if you will. We're going to do something over the next 2 weeks that speaks to black athletes in history as a part of Black History Month. And I'm going to take you from 1902 to 1950 today, throwing out some dates and some names that you'll be able to relate to or not, and then a couple surprises, I'm sure. So let me start with 1902, the first black basketball player to play professional basketball.
Cooper.
We thought it was Chuck Cooper.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, well, there's a difference, but slightly. A guy by the name of Harry Lou played for the New England Pro League in 1902.
See, you have an advantage, Bill, awesome, because you were there.
That's so funny. Such a funny guy. He cracks you. You really, rather than waste your time here, you should be out like on a tour, man, doing like a comedy show.
If I can do it, why not?
Yeah, because you crack you up, I tell you. 1904, first in Olympics to win a medal. First black man to win a medal in the Olympics. Here's what trips me off. 1904.
Right, but
you wouldn't think that, would you?
Right, no, you wouldn't.
George, now you tell me how to pronounce this, Kevin. P-O-A-G-E. P-O-A-G-E. I want to say
Probably Podge.
You want to say Podge? I say Podge. But P-O-A-G-E was the Poge. First black man.
Is it Poge?
Poge. P-O-A-G-E.
Got you.
First black man to win a medal in the Olympics. And that was in 1904. He won 2 bronze. All right. Now, this one you'll get. In 1908, the first boxing champ. You know this one.
Oh, that has to be I can't call his name because you put me on the spot right now.
Well, you got to know.
And I'm be upset.
Ali's hero. Ali's
hero. I'm going to be upset because Jack Johnson.
Jack Johnson.
Yeah, because I knew the name was on the tip of my tongue.
Now, 1916. You should know this one, Kev, since you claim to be a football guy. First black to play in the Rose Bowl.
Ooh, the Rose Bowl.
First black.
The Rose Bowl.
Because the Rose Bowl was the biggest bowl.
Was the
bowl
big
for,
bowl.
Right. Was for all.
Well, what year again?
1916. You actually know this.
I don't know, Bill.
When I say the name, you'll know. Fritz Pollard. You got it.
He's from here, right? Isn't he from New Kensington?
No, you get. Hold on to that thought. But Fritz Pollard was a record breaker in a multitude of ways. But he played in the first. He's the first black man to play in the Rose Bowl at Brown University.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, first woman to win a major sports title. This isn't something any of us should know. But the first woman to win a major sports title of any kind, the first black woman, is a woman named Lucy Slow. And she won it in the American Tennis Federation in 1917. So I ask you to do this. For our listeners, close your eyes and imagine the astonishment of the crowd when this black woman comes out on the court in 1917.
Did she look black, or, I mean, was she fair-skinned? She pass for white?
No picture, but she obviously was recognized as black, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but that, you know, I mean, I can't be.
Well, you know, those days, you got a pass, depending on your complexion. That's the only thing I'm saying.
That's possible, but let's not assume that to be true since it's Black History.
That's why I asked.
Yeah. Now, first NFL player, first black NFL player. Have a guess?
He's from New Kensington.
No, still close. Hold on to that.
you're trying to get that in, huh?
You're close.
The first black NFL player.
Right. Fritz Pollard.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Fritz Pollard was the first pro. No, I'll get to that in a minute. Okay. All right. I promise you, I ain't going to leave you hanging. Fritz Pollard played for the Akron Pros. And then Bobby Marshall played for the Rock Island Independents. So,
gotcha.
Now you want to know about that.
Willie Thrower. He's from New Kensington.
Hold on a second. 1929, first black sportscaster. Since this is all
1929? There was a black sportscaster in 1929.
Is that shocking? Now, since we're all sportscasters, I thought you'd want to know this.
And radio started when?
I don't know. But the first black sportscaster was a guy named Sherman Jocko Maxwell.
He was a sportscaster.
On WNJR, Newark, New Jersey.
Wow. Okay, 1929.
I'm
going to look that one up myself.
It's amazing. Yeah, you can Google it. All right. Now, here's an easy one for you. I'm going to throw you a toss-up. 1947, first black baseball player.
Come on, Bill.
47.
Just tell everybody.
I'm asking the question.
His numbers retired. Well, give me the answer. Was a movie.
Just give me the answer.
Number 42, Jackie Robinson.
Okay, because, you know, you might have slept it.
You know.
All right.
And say that again. He was the first what?
First black baseball player.
In the major leagues.
In the major leagues, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Add a little bit more to that, man.
Okay, in the major leagues. All right, 1947, first college All-American basketball player. First college All-American basketball player, you wouldn't know.
At 47, no.
Don Barksdale.
I was going to say Don.
Were you really?
No, he's lying.
I was going to say,
he's
wow.
He's crazy. You know. See, he's slipping in the dark. You remember Ward, the group Ward, is the record called Slipping
yes,
in the Darkness.
Yes, I remember.
That's where he's going.
I do. I know that record.
All right.
You're the one with CTE, Bill.
1924. You know? First man to win a gold independent medal in the Olympics. Dee Hart Hubbard in the long jump.
Wow.
And the first black woman to win a gold medal in the Olympics is a woman named Alice Coachman. Alice Coachman in track.
Wow.
All right, Kevin, let's see if you know this one. You think you know every doggone thing. 1948, first golf course designed by what black man?
Golf course?
I said golf course. Now you want to act like you all caught off guard.
That's powerful, Bill.
But imagine, 1948, somebody paid a black man to do it.
Really, when you think about it, that probably isn't surprising.
That's status quo.
You know, we built the White House, right?
Well, but,
D.C.
That historically is true. Bill Powell is the name. Bill Powell, 1948. In 1949... the first Major League Baseball MVP.
1949, MVP.
That's Jackie
first Robinson. Major League Baseball MVP.
That's come on, Jackie.
Come on, Smarty Pants.
MVP of Major League Baseball.
First Major League Baseball MVP, 1949.
So you're saying the whole season. You're not talking about the World Series. You're
Major
not,
League Baseball.
You know, I just got to clarify
That's
with
not
you,
Jackie.
Bill.
Well, who do you think it is?
Jackie Robinson.
It's Jackie Robinson.
It has to be Jackie Robinson.
But Kevin didn't know.
Oh, okay.
And he's I was trying
to get more information.
You had all
the
information
you know?
Trevin had. All right, here's an easy one for you. 1950, first African-American woman to win a world tennis
Althea Gibson.
Althea Gibson. Kev, you strong with this, man.
You beat me to the punch.
Well,
I have her right here.
Smarter people
Althea
will
Gibson.
Do, smarter people will do that.
Althea Gibson.
And lastly, now this is a tricky this trick, you can win money in a bar on this question.
I don't go to bars, Bill.
Wherever real men gather, Kev, if you ever happen to go. First NBA basketball players. Uh-huh. I gave you a tip.
The Harlem Rens?
They didn't basketball play in the NBA, players. Though. First NBA. First people to play in the NBA.
People?
Because you think it's one, don't you? But it's actually three.
Oh,
even,
I get you.
Yeah, okay, so that's you. Why I said players.
What team?
Well, I ain't going to tell you that.
Okay.
Well, one of them you already have.
The Celtics?
So who's that?
With the Celtics?
Chuck Cooper.
Okay.
With the Boston Celtics.
I got that
that's
one,
right. He
Bill.
Went to Boston. Okay. Yeah, you did get that one.
Now,
I wasn't thinking that.
And Chuck Cooper Jr. will tell you these two things also because he told me these three things. Nate Sweetwater Clifton.
Played with the Knicks.
Yeah, right. they were Globetrotters first. Right. And then Earl Lloyd. played with the Washington Capitals. And the reason that question is so tricky is because it was all pretty much in and around the same week. As a matter of fact, I think Earl Lloyd actually signed his contract before Chuck Cooper, but Chuck Cooper played first. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, your Black History intro for Black History Month on some great, outstanding African-American champions in the world of sports. And I'll continue it from the 50s to the 70s next week. But, Trev, I just wanted to get you, since you cover so much black sports, do you have any first in now, your mind, historically speaking?
I got a question for you guys, and I don't mean to get away from the point because I know Kevin wanted to talk about baseball, but think of the impact that Curt Flood had on baseball even to today.
On sports.
He changed sports. Yes, free agency.
Yeah, he changed
so
sports.
So when you ask me about a first, and I'm thinking baseball too, I'm thinking that's a first right there because Curt Flood, as he challenged the Cincinnati Reds and wanted his – and went, because back in the day, you know, we're all used to one player staying with the same team for his whole career, and they got locked in.
Yeah, Bill's not for that, though, Trevin.
Huh?
Bill's not for that. What? He would have been against him, Curt Flood.
He would have been against Curt Flood?
Yeah, I mean, he just sat up here and talked about how LeBron James should just stay in Cleveland and, you know, he's not for him going to Houston or Golden State or wherever.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when you say
that's
that.
That's what I'm saying. I'm always in the player's corner. Yeah. When they have opportunity after, you know, all their sweat and tears and and everything they do, when they have the leverage – you have to go for it. That's why, you know, Le'Veon Bell, he needs to get paid.
Right.
So I'm always on the player's side anytime you have the leverage.
Hey, speaking of that, what are the Steelers to do?
Oh, when they can put the franchise tag on.
Put the franchise tag on him. So what are they to do? Since you brought that up, Kev, are you going to pay him?
You have to put the franchise tag on him.
So, until you make the deal.
Until you make the deal. I mean, that's just a smart business move
to
make.
But at the end of the day, is it, you know, the Steelers have said we want to sign him to finish his career.
Exactly.
But Le'Veon said if they tag me, I'm retiring.
Right, so he did.
He's not retiring. Out. So no one leaving $15, $16, $18 million. I'll play for him.
Well, let's leave that for next week. But, Trev, I do want to ask you, do you have any information on – Coach Robinson
Robinson,
any of the Grambling or any of the historical stuff that has gone on since you've been around that.
Doubt, especially with HBCUs. Well, you know, there's plenty of black players that came from HBCUs, especially back in the day from Grambling. Most had the most players in the NFL, even to today from a school. So that's one of them. And Coach Eddie Robinson, who won over 300 games. Now, some people may argue Joe Paterno, but then there's the question about some of the wins.
Again, put that in the right perspective. What you just said, Coach Eddie Robinson, most win
in college football.
College football.
In college football.
And it's not recognized that way, is it?
No.
Well, but he no longer is.
Because there's a gentleman that played in that coached in Division III.
This is getting confusing because didn't Joe Paterno break it as well?
Yeah, but that's what I said.
The Florida State cat broke Paterno's, I thought. Well, Google it up, Kev.
I mean, they took all of his wins away. So
that's what I'm saying. That's my point
right
there.
That's why I said I'm getting confused.
And that's why I was mad that's when I get mad when you guys referred to earlier in the show when the NCAA or an organization comes in and they try to wipe away what happened. My only point there is what happened happened. You cannot erase what happened, but you can put an asterisk on it. I get that, but history is history. That's why it's history.
No. What about on the baseball side? Since we're bringing this up too, the all-time home run king.
That's still Barry Bonds. You cannot get rid of that. That's Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds hit the most home runs. Because you know what, Kev? That would even take you back to the argument between Babe Ruth and Josh Gibson.
That's where I'm going.
Get there. Where are you going? Get there.
Well, I'm just saying how certain things that is accomplished isn't recognized, and then you have other things that is taken away and is not a good situation.
Well, I'm not debating you. I just want to put it on the table. So you're saying what?
We need to be careful as far as what we're recognizing as number one versus number two, and
specifically
what's included.
Specifically,
is Negro League baseball stats included with Major League Baseball stats? And if so, then now you have Satchel Paige and all kind of other players where, you know, they're number one in a lot of different categories.
Okay, so but what do you have something specific you want to offer?
Well, I just brought it up. Trev just brought it up. Josh Gibson and Babe Ruth.
Okay, so understandable. What I'm asking you is, do you have anything that you want to offer as a first or historic reference to Black History Month for African American athletes?
How much time do we have, Bill? Because I have a whole lot.
Well, just give
you took all the time. You know what? At the banquet I went to, when you were honored for that great honor that you have, well, Western Pennsylvania basketball.
I think it was important that I say the things I said.
Trev, he took all the time. Everybody that came up after him said, "Thanks, Bill. I only have a minute now." You know, I mean, you should be in Congress, man, because you know how to filibuster big time.
Let me just clear one thing up.
So
for you
you're
guys.
Not giving Barry Bonds the title? Is that what
he
you're saying?
He is the home run king.
No,
who's
I am giving Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame
without question.
So he's the all-time.
You and I on the same page with that. Without question.
So what is it that you're offering about Josh Gibson that his 800 home runs don't count?
The argument is that because of the major league players, their records weren't incomplete, so to speak.
Exactly.
So that's the argument that maybe Josh didn't hit the number of home runs that he says or that people say he hit, and that Babe Ruth, all of his were recorded. So that's just a convenience and a luxury, but that doesn't deny the fact that Josh Gibson may have hit more home runs than Babe Ruth.
Just because something was recorded.
Exactly.
It's still my word against your word, right? But I can record anything I want to record.
You and I on the same page.
Okay.
We're on the same
thank
page.
Thank you. Thank you.
Like, you just can't erase history.
Do we
if it happened,
email?
It happened.
Do we even need Bill?
I don't know why you're offering that. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just asking the question.
Let me clear something up real quick.
Josh Gibson is the only ball player on record to hit a ball out of Yankee Stadium.
And some people will question that. Did it actually happen?
Well,
did it really happen? Real quick, so I don't take up your time. John Gagliardi has the most wins in college football at 489 wins. Now, he coached at St. John's in New York. Now, Joe Paterno is listed as number two. He has 409 wins. And then you have Eddie Robinson listed at number three with 408 wins. Now, the discrepancy there is, didn't they take some of Joe Paterno's wins away from him?
Exactly. All right, so Black history. Just, you know, you mentioned her name previously, Althea Gibson. But what you didn't realize, Bill, what you did not mention, not only was she a professional tennis player, she was a professional golfer as well. Okay? Back in the day, I mean, we're talking about back in the 1950s, 1940s, 1950s, she succeeded in both sports. That's very powerful. Okay? Also, would like to mention another golfer, Charlie Sifford. He was the first African-American to play on the PGA Tour. He won the Greater Hartford Open in 1967 and the LA Open in 1969. He won the United Golf Association National Negro Championship six times, and the PGA Senior Championship in 1975. For his contributions in golf, he was inducted into the World Golf Hall of Fame in 2004. He was awarded the Old Tom Moores Award in 2007 and the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2014 and an honorary doctorate from the University of St. Andrews. So,
can you imagine what those guys had to go through? I know all those early years, even in the 50s and 60s, what they had to go through, to put up with, to tolerate, to ignore, to set aside so it wouldn't affect their game and still be at the top of their game. And we all saw the movie Jackie Robinson, how he had to ignore. And at that time, it was blatant use of the N-word and all those kinds of things, and still be able to steal home base.
Right.
I mean, that's at a level of concentration that, and you don't know if somebody in the audience is going to shoot you or throw something at you. I mean, just the fortitude and the level of concentration and commitment that our forefathers had is just amazing.
And Jackie Robinson was what year again?
Jackie
was in the 40s, right?
47.
40s. Yeah.
40. So it was right around the same time because he turned pro in golf in 1948. He had 22 professional wins.
You know what I also wonder? Remember in the movie Dorothy Dandridge, if you saw it, when she was in Vegas, she had to use an outhouse, so to speak. Mm-hmm. She had to go to the rear of the hotel to use the restroom. She couldn't even put her toe into the pool.
They drained
it. So I'm wondering, in that time period, did those golfers, did they have to use a separate restroom? Did they have to use a separate shower? Did Fritz Pollard, you know, was he allowed to shower? You know, you just wonder about
that's pretty much a given.
All the stuff that we just take for granted that they probably didn't even have access to.
Yeah.
So if you're on the golf course and you can't use the white restroom there, how far do you got to go to use the black one if that was the case, you know? Or for Althea Gibson, we sometimes forget, but some of the movies have shown us,
mm-hmm.
while we are clear on the attitude and the hatred in the hearts of white men, there were white women that were quite vicious and manipulative and taking advantage of black slaves as well. While white men did rape black women as slaves, there were white women who took advantage of black men, thus the story of Mandingo.
Definitely.
So how did white women treat Althea Gibson in that time period? It's just a lot that we just assume to be okay could not have been.
You know, if I could, gentlemen, the more that I learn, the older that I get, the more I know that I could not have tolerated anything, nor do I understand anything that our people went through in the 1900s, 18, definitely during slavery. But then when you think about it, when you talk about progress and becoming modern, the 30s, the 20s, the 1910s, there's no idea. I don't think any of us could understand what was going on.
My dad just turned 86, and I just threw him his 86th birthday party on Sunday. Shocked him, and had a great time. But then I say that to say this. I remember saying to my dad once, I said, man, I couldn't have lived like that. And my dad was born in 1932.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, you would have. You would have lived like that, and you would have done what you had to do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did. And that's what we all would have done. But in our present mind, you and I are both thinking, we about to mix this up, fella.
Right.
there's a lot of people that refuse, just like you initially said. You know, Nat Turner,
mm-hmm.
for example.
Yeah.
So it was a whole lot of Nat Turners that we do not know about.
Or going back a little further, as the movie alluded to, as Black Panther alluded to, for the women, you know, the idea was, and I learned this a few years ago, I was down south and I was visiting one of the plantations that are, you know, on display, and how, you know, slaves were pretty much stacked in the bottom of slave ships. Many of us might have the sense that slaves were in the bottom of slave ships, you know, just, you know, get down there.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually stacked.
Mm-hmm.
They slept on top of each other. So you imagine, and I'll be tasteful in offering this, you know, waste.
Sure.
And menstrual cycle and mm-hmm. all of that was slept on top of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's almost incredible. But the point is that when they brought the slaves up on top of the ship to, in essence, hose down the bottom of the ship, many mothers took their children and fell overboard,
mm-hmm.
believing that it was better in death than it was in life. So how many people did we lose like that?
Definitely.
You know, so, I mean, it's just, yeah, when you talk about could we have survived, would we have survived, would we have... And then you can even go further. When Dr. King and those people marched in Memphis and in the South, at any given time, somebody with a rifle on a building could have taken out 10, 15, 20 people. They had no idea if they were going to make it to the end of the march, mm-hmm. let alone the riots and the dogs and the fire hoses and all that. So, yeah, I don't miss a chance to vote. And certainly we know people that do, and we know young people that don't have a clue. But the sense of understanding what our people did for us to be able to have that right, some good and bad, but this total lack of respect for elders, the lack of respect for each other, the lack of respect for women that permeates some of our inner city communities is just, if they just knew what our forefathers went through so we could have a better life. It's Urban Media Radio Sports, and you can find us here each and every week. Kevin Cameron, Bill Neal, Trevin Jones bring it to you live and in serious color. And we'll be back next week with a show better than this one. And remember, champions aren't born, they're made. And we make them better than anyone.
Soul Tape.
The champ is
Champions
here.
Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email MaryJo@RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345.
HBCU Sports with Trevin A. Jones, weekly on Urban Media Today Radio. A full report on all HBCU sports action. Also join us on a weekly basis on Urban Media Today, talking sports with our host Trevin A. Jones, sports columnist Ray Porter Jr., sports reporter Vince Butts, and the big guy, Alan Lincoln. That's all happening weekly on Urban Media Today Radio.